Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, January 13th, 2020. This morning I will talk about the tension within. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your willingness to break into our little worlds, break our obsession with ourselves, the person that we know so well, but have trouble being truthful to. Shine your light into the darkness. Drive the cloud of despair away. Help us to accept your gospel by engaging it, living it, and sharing it. Bridge the gap between our false selves and our true selves in Christ. Bridge the gap between us and others. Bridge the gap between us and you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, recreate us again as whole people. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15, we read, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate." As North Americans, we are the best-fed and most pampered generation of all time, yet at the same time our young people and senior citizens are committing suicide at historically high rates. And ordinary children today are more fearful than psychiatric patients in the 1950s, according to Max Licuto. Why? One answer is that we've become painfully isolated from ourselves. We live in a society in which loneliness has become one of the most painful human wounds, according to Henry Nouwen. Our isolation has been magnified by a loss of faith and community, leaving us vulnerable to anxiety and depression. Isolated people often ruminate about the past. In ruminating, obsessing about a personal slight, real or imagined, amplifying small insults into big ones. For psychiatric patients who are not good at distinguishing reality and illusion, constant internal repetition of even small personal slights is not only amplified, but also remembered as a separate event. Through this process of amplification and separation, a single spanking at age 8 could by age 20 grow into a memory of daily beatings. Amplified in this way, rumination absorbs the time and energy normally focused on meeting daily challenges and planning for the future. By interfering with normal activities, reflection, and relationships, rumination slows normal emotional and relational development, and the ruminator becomes increasingly isolated from themselves, from God, and from those around them. Why do we care? We care because everyone ruminates, and technology leads us to ruminate more than other generations. The ever-present earphone with music, the television always on, the constant texting, the video game played every waking hour, and the work that we never set aside all function like rumination to keep dreary thoughts from entering our heads. Much like addicts, we're distracted every waking hour from processing normal emotions, and we become anxious and annoyed when we are forced to tune in to our own lives, a kind of escalation behavior in the language of psychiatrics. Rumination, stress addiction, and other obsessions have become mainstream lifestyles that leave us fearful when alone, and in today's society, we are frequently alone even in the company of others. We are in tension with ourselves. Jesus sees our tension and offers to relieve it, saying, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Self-centered rumination is a heavy burden, not a light one. Jesus models Sabbath rest, prayer, and forgiveness that break rumination by encouraging us to look outside ourselves. In Sabbath rest, we look outside ourselves to share in God's peace, to reflect on Christ's forgiveness, and to accept the Holy Spirit's invitation to prayer. In prayer, we commune with God where our wounds can be healed, our strength restored, and our eyes open to our sin, brokenness, and need for forgiveness. When we sense our need for forgiveness, we also see our need to forgive. In forgiveness, we value relationships above our own personal needs, which breaks the cycle of sin and retaliation in our relationships with others. And by emulating Jesus Christ, we draw closer to God in our faith. Faith, discipleship, and ministry require we give up obsessing with ourselves. On our own, our obsessions are too strong and we cannot come to faith, grow in our faith, or participate in ministry. For most people, faith comes through prayer, reading scripture, and involvement in the church, all inspired by the Holy Spirit. For the original apostles, the discipling was done by Jesus himself. In the Beatitudes, Jesus tutors the disciples and says that we will be honored in at least three ways. Honored are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Honored are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Honored are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is Matthew 5:3-5. Jesus takes the world's threats to our identity, self-worth, and personal dignity, and reframes them as promises that we will receive the kingdom of heaven, be comforted, and inherit the earth. But Jesus ties these promises to discipleship as part of his yoke, and does not extend them to spectators. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.